Our Heavenly Father, you're present in this room. You watch our service. So we pray that you will be pleased with our heart when we raise our voice and we praise you. You are always good. Lord, you are always good. And we believe that. For the rest of the time, we listen to the message from the scripture. So I pray the Holy Spirit will be with me, in me, to share your word and only from your word. And I pray the Holy Spirit will be in the heart of the people in this room so they can hear your voice and apply the scripture for their life. Everything we do for your glory, Father. And we pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. What did the Bible say about spiritual living? You know, for the last couple of weeks, you already listened to our brother Chris, Reverend Chris, talking about what did the Bible say about worry, about the finance, about woman leadership. And today I pick the topic of the spiritual living. Before I share the message, it's really amazing thing happened yesterday. You know, yesterday, very cold. The temperature dropped down to maybe 31, 32, and then when it warmed up about 35, 36, we all bundled up and we went to Tết Việt Hòa. We had a booth over there. And I think most of the people at the Tết Việt Hòa yesterday experiencing God, because the first time ever, we have like about 74% of the people listen to the gospel and pray, accept Jesus Christ. Last year, it's only 62, but this year, 74. So that amazed. And a lot of people, they just complete the training last Sunday, and every one of them, when they share the gospel, people come to Christ. That's number one. Number two, it's really amazing thing because over 50% of the people come to Christ yesterday speaking English. And here, most of the people who share the message very much spoke broken language. But the people come to Christ. So I pray the Lord that after we're done with the service and after you're done under Sunday school, all of you, we need the English speaking folks. Go out to your bed and share the gospel and experiencing God. So what exactly about the spiritual living? And I pick in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14, on the way to chapter 3, verse 3. And if you have a Bible, you can open with me. Okay? Because this time I didn't post the scripture up on the screen. So all of us, we experiencing God together in this room. Most of us, you would find out we're very, very comfortable living in our home, among our own people. But what happened when we place in the foreign country with a language and culture unfamiliar to us? Many people become confused, anxious, and even depressed. And yesterday, because it's so cold, so I put the thing over my head and I put on my Vietnamese cap thing. So the lady, she's a Muslim, so I'm probably look like the Vietnamese Muslim folk, you know, with the áo dài and then cover my face like this, tie like this, and then the cap on top. And she come, I'm a Muslim. Are you the Muslim? I say, well, I'm the Baptist pastor. Let me share you the message. And the Lord do the wonder work. So she pray, accept Christ. And of course, I speak in English. At that time, it's like, why nobody explained to me about this? And another lady, she come and then said, well, we want to take the picture with you because I like your dress. And she from Africa. I said, well, where you come from? Well, I'm from Ivory Coast, and I'm served for the church. I said, well, at 3:30, we have African French-speaking folks worship at our church. Just come to our church. So I said, yeah, I will try to come. So amazing thing has happened when you go out and you see. But again, you know, some of us, we confuse, we anxious, and sometimes we depressed. The condition, we call it a culture shock. Culture shock occurs when we find ourselves surrounding completely new to us. familiar custom no longer apply, and many things must be relearned. And the same thing when you believe in, become a Christian, it can be the culture shock for you when you find yourself to learn live by the Spirit. Because living so much our life, we're familiar with the physical world we live in. But how about learn to live in the spiritual life? You would find out if you study in the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23. The spiritual nature of the Christian, the Bible describes man as a living soul. Let's go back a little bit, because from our perspective, you will find out we have the physical body, okay? We have the mind, the spirit. We also have the soul. The soul or the spirit, the place where God would reside. And if in that soul, missing God, and then something will go wrong there. So basically, we in the physical world, our spirit, our link to God and the spiritual world, our soul, including the mind, emotion, the will, is influenced by the body and our spirit. So that reason why at the center of the circle, you will find out Christ is the spirit. Because when Adam and Eve have sinned, that section died. So man, from the beginning of time, after the fall of Adam, they very much live in with the sin nature, with their physical body, and also their soul. It means the mind, emotion, and the will get influenced by the outside world. So if we go back to the Bible, in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14 to chapter 3, verse 3, let's read together if you have the Bible with me. Okay, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. The man without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them because they are spiritually discerned. The spiritual man makes judgment about all things, but he himself is not subject to any man's judgment. In verse 16, for who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Brother, I could not address you as spiritual, but as a worldly mere infant in Christ. I gave you milk, not a solid food, for you were not yet ready for it. Indeed, you are still not ready. You are still worldly, for since there is jealousy and quarreling among you, are you not worldly? Are you not acting like men? For when one say, I follow Paul, and another, I follow Apollos, are you not mere men? So basically, he's talking about spiritual nature of man. There's three kinds of people. First type of people, we call it a non-Christian or not yet believer. So they're spiritual, or the spiritual, the center of the circle of their being, very much die. So their soul, their mind, the emotion, and the will, that the soul, is very much influenced by the outside world, from the physical world, from what they observe, from their five senses. The second type of person Paul mentioned about is a spiritual Christian. Basically, a spiritual Christian is a person who believes in Jesus Christ, and Christ sits in the throne of this person's heart. And from that, is expanded out to their soul, influence the mind and the emotion and the will. Okay? And also from the soul, it influence the physical world, it means our five senses, to prevent just about any attack from the outside world or from the devil. And the same thing, the worldly Christian is very much, they have Christ, you know, as a spiritual domain. But however, they did allow Christ to do the work, so they still under attack. We will go point by point per person. So the non-Christian, they do not have Christ or eternal life. Life dominated by sin nature. like influenced by Satan and the world, no fellowship with God, is an enemy of God, unable to live a life pleasing to God. So the non-Christian does not have Christ in his life, so they're spiritual, very much separate from God. So his essential nature is sinful, and because of this, he's strongly influenced by the world and Satan. And the Bible talking about he's an enemy of God and cannot please God. And that's what happened to the people around this world. And we live in the world now. 40 years ago, when you hear the name America, United States of America, people around the world thinking, this is the Christian nation. But however, today, if you talk about when they're talking about United States of America, America, people thinking about, oh, it's a worldly, or it's non-Christian nation anymore. Why it happened? Because most of us, we neglect the spiritual life. We not allow Christ to do the work in us. Okay, to allow Christ from the spiritual sense is influence our soul, it means our mind, our emotion, and our will, and influence our senses. You know, as a human physical world, we contact with the world through five senses. And we not allow Christ to do the work, to control our five senses. So that reason why it goes through our five senses, it influence our mind, our emotion, our will, and begin to make the wrong judgment or the wrong decision and impact the people around us. But however, the spiritual Christian, the Bible talking about, if you read in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 15, and Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, it's very much have Christ and have eternal life. Okay, you have to know for sure you have eternal life. Because the Bible talks about whoever believes in him, it means Jesus Christ, have eternal life, have an everlasting life. So you have to make sure that when you believe, you have to sure 100% for sure you have eternal life. Okay? Because when you accept that, you are for sure about that, you have Christ sit in the throne of your spiritual domain in your body. And life dominated by Christ. You allow Christ, God, and his word, the scripture, influence your life. So the change had to be from the inside, from the spiritual, it impact the soul and it go to the physical world. Because the people cannot see your soul. The people cannot see your spiritual, whatever domain in you. But they see what happened. They see your action. The will control your five senses. The will control your action. But before the will can do that, it's been your emotion had to be under control, influenced by Christ. Okay? Because the mind controls the emotion and become the action or the will. Okay? And when you believe in Christ, you are a child of God. So many times I stand here and communicate to you and also the Vietnamese congregation. You are the child of God. And if God is Almighty, King of all King, above all, so you are very much the princess and the prince of the great Almighty God. So you have to know your position as a child of God. And of course, a spiritual Christian, as a child of God, you have very, very close fellowship with Him, with God. And you live the life pleasing to God. Sometimes live a life pleasing to people. Well, we tend to try to please the people, but we forgot the element. If you please God, you will please the people. The priority had to be in the right place. So I can summarize that the spiritual Christian has Christ in his life and is spiritual alive to God. His essential nature is holy. And he is strongly influenced by God and his word. He is a child of God and pleases God with his life. So sometimes we have to step back and say, yes, I am a Christian, but is my life pleasing God? Is your life pleasing God in whatever you do? At work, school, in the family, or even among your friends? what is the difference between a Christian and a non-Christian when you live in the world, when you go to school, when you're in your home, or when you associate with your friend, or at work, or wherever you go. So what makes you different? Okay, let's go to the worldly Christian. Okay, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1 to 3, and you can review in the book of Acts chapter 5, verse 1 to 5. The worldly Christian is very much the person say, I believe in Jesus Christ, I accept him as Lord, as Savior. So that person have salvation. But however, it allow Christ to control or to influence the soul, it means the mind, emotion, and the will, and allow the world influence the physical or the body and begin to impact the soul. So the worldly Christian has Christ and eternal life. But however, their life is dominated by sin nature. Life influenced by Satan and the world. Yes, this person is still a child of God. However, had no fellowship with God. Is not living a life pleasing to God. So if you apply this to your family, yes, you have father and you have mother in the home, but you have never talked to your parent. Something wrong. Same thing if God is your father. You are the child of God, but you have never prayed. You don't even read the Bible. That's the way of communication to God. So you translate into application, okay? You're born in the family, never talk with your father, your dad, never talk with your mom. So suddenly, there's a disconnect. You don't know, you know, what's going on in your own house. And wherever you see your parent, you argue, quarrel. You see, the same thing. And you may make the wrong judgment on your parent. The same thing if we don't have close fellowship with God. Sometimes we may argue, or we may defend our sinful nature with our own argument, our own logic, because we get influenced by the world. So to summarize, the worldly Christian have Christ in his life, his spiritual alive to God. However, his essential nature is holy and pure, but lives according to sin nature, open himself to influence of the world and Satan. He is a child of God, but does not please God with his life. So I hope that you not fall into this category here. So for application, sometimes you go back and think about which person above best represents your life. Okay? The non-Christian, the spiritual Christian, or the worldly Christian. If you are a non-Christian, so I would urge you, and I pray to the Lord, you receive Christ, and let him fill in your life. But if you are a worldly Christian, allow Christ to fill your life. And that's so critical for the spiritual life. Okay, now you are the spiritual living. So how do you let spiritual grow? Spiritual growth occurs when we yield more our life to Christ until he fills every part, the will, the mind, emotion, and body. So as we grow spiritually, we move from predominant worldly of our lifestyle to being spiritual lifestyle. So spiritual growth, it requires our mind filled with Christ. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Do not conform to the world any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by renewing our mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God will is his good, pleasing and perfect will. Okay, the world very much like conform is mean squeeze into the mold. So we have to resist the squeeze into the mold of the world, values and pattern. If you read the newspaper lately, a lot of things going on in United States, America, especially about the abortion. They call it infanticide. It's already passed in New York, and they try to push through Virginia, and yesterday it passed in New Mexico. And the path is that we go through Maine, New Hampshire, and infanticide is already happened. Basically, the person said, yeah, follow Christ and believe in Christ. But however, the influence of the world is already impact the soul, the mind, the will, the emotion. So basically, you know, a lot of bad things happen. So how to change the world? It has to be from the next generation. Okay, to reverse this trend. It means honor you. So that reason why I prayed to the Lord a lot last night. I said, why in the world yesterday when we went out, over 50% of the young people came to Christ? It's been the next generation that recognize something wrong. The next, they already recognize there's some spiritual vacuum in their physical being, in their being. And there's the vacuum there. So look like a lot of young people now try to search for God. And hopefully, you know, our church are to be direct, honor you, make that impact. Okay? And they talk about, so instead of squeeze to the mold of the world value and pattern, we are being transformed to change from inside through renewed our mind. It's so critical because our mind is mean, our mind, our emotion, our will get impact or influenced by God's word or influence from Christ. So it can become action wisely when we deal with the world. Our will filled with Christ. Luke chapter 22, verse 42. Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me, yet not my will, but yours be done. So in Luke 22, verse 42, Jesus Christ prayed that if his Father were willing, he be somehow spared the suffering awaiting to him to the cross. But he yield his will to the Father. Why, if you ask? Because he convinced that God is all-wise, all-knowing, all-loving, and God wills a good, pleasing, and perfect. And that's what happened when we yield yourself to the Lord. And spiritual growth requires emotional filled with Christ. Remember, when we talk about the soul, it requires the mind, the will, and the emotion. So the mind had to fill with Christ, your will had to fill with Christ, your emotion had to fill with Christ. The book of Colossians, chapter 3, verse 12, is very nice. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. That's what the Bible is talking about. Because our emotion cannot be can be one of the most difficult areas for our life to control. Feelings are so often depend on the circumstances which can change unexpectedly. Because sometimes, you know, you plan to go to the park or whatever, you expect sunshine and hot and warm and all of that stuff, and suddenly it rains like crazy. And because of outside circumstances of the weather, and suddenly you feel down. Your emotion, suddenly you feel sad. And yesterday, yeah, a lot of people, my goodness, it's so cold, we're all bundled up, so why do we have to go out? So in order to control our emotion, we very much, you know, encourage each other. And we encourage, hey, if we go out, people, if they courage enough to go to the church in the cold weather, maybe that those people got picked for us to share the gospel. So everybody can come up, okay? Even though the crowd is not that high. So I will go real quick. Our body had to fill with Christ. Remember, okay, as a human being, we have three parts, the body, the soul. In the soul, it has the mind, the will, and the emotion, and of course, the spiritual. So our body filled with Christ. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. Therefore, I urge you, brother, in view of God's mercy, to offer your body as living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. So the Bible talking about we very much to know and fulfill his will by worship. But the best worship offering is our own body here. Okay? So I pray to the Lord this morning when you and the team up here, you worship, you singing, your body also singing as an act of worship. Your mind, your soul, emotion, your will, all of that also an act of worship. So faith is the only way. In the physical world, we live in the physical sense. The sight, the touch, the hearing, the taste and smell. But how do we live in the spiritual realm while we're still in the physical body? Oh, the Bible, Second Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, is very nice. It explains that. We live by faith, not by sight. Okay? So I give the example here. It's just like when the pilot fly an airplane or the twin engine, you fly by the instrument. Okay? And you trust the instrument guiding you through the cloud or whatever. Because if you use your senses, the airplane, when it goes through the cloud, it may fly upside down. So that reason why we always tune up the instrument. So when we go through chaos, challenge, struggle, we don't rely on our emotion, our senses to direct our path. So sometimes you feel like you fly right side up. Your instrument may indicate that you're really upside down. So that reason why as a pilot get trained to discipline himself to trust the instrument, not his own feeling. The same way, as a Christian, we must discipline ourselves to trust God's word, not the feeling, not your feeling. Because of feeling versus the truth of God. Because sometimes you have question, I don't feel God present. It's happened. But if you study the book Matthew and Hebrew, God always there for you. I don't feel forgiven. If you study the 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, He already forgives you. Okay? He already forgets your sin when you pray accept Him. But sometimes it keeps popping up. I'm afraid of dying. I visit a lot of people, the Christian in the nursing home. They're afraid of dying. I said, well, but you come to the better place. You have eternal life, heaven. Okay? Sometimes you are anxious. If you're anxious, go back to the book of Philippians, chapter 4, verse 6 and verse 19. Do not worry. Okay? And that topic, Reverend Chris already talked to you on the first what Bible talking about already. But I want to read to you in the book Hebrew, chapter 11, verse 6, to remember. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to Him must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who earnestly seek Him. Let us stand up and read this verse. Read with me this verse together. And without faith, it's impossible to please God, because anyone. Okay. Let's read one more time loudly so I can hear you. And without faith, amen. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you very much because you have given us life through your Spirit in us, filling us completely with the Spirit of Christ. We yield our mind, emotion, our will and our body to you, that your life may be penetrate every area of our life. And we pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.